found us. What about this idea?
Gotta listen to this show. Why?
Because it's about the hearts and minds of entrepreneurs. Oh,
nailed it.
I didn't even look at the
nailed
wall.
Nailed it.
I didn't even look at
all
the
right,
wall.
All right, listen. Honestly, this is a show. It's different than other shows about entrepreneurship.
It's real. It's real. Real stories.
Is it?
We tend to talk very real.
I love
and
it.
So do our guests. So come have fun with us.
Are you ready?
Are you ready for the show this week?
I'm ready. We're going.
This is a great week. This is a great week. I don't know why I think that, but I'm really excited about our guest.
Well, I'm glad you're excited about the guest. What's our show?
What?
Oh, God.
Something about, what about this
that
idea?
That part you know. You have that down. What's the other part?
Inside the hearts and minds of entrepreneurs.
I'm thinking we might make a change, too. Because I really like this idea of challenging our guests, and we'll get to our
we're going to get there. I like that too.
Yeah, to tell us what their big idea is that may never come true. Just like the big fun thing that you're like, you know, ever since I was a kid, because you put this little idea on
I know.
Shelf somewhere.
It's made me think of ideas. Yeah. So I'm already excited about this little tweak in our format.
Yeah, me too. And it's kind of fun to hold on to ideas that you know maybe don't have a chance of living. Like
exactly.
Maybe you know, but there's a little weird dream in there. You're like, well, if everything aligned in just the right way, I'd start an amusement park. You're like, really? Like,
oh, really?
No, I wouldn't. I'm just making something up.
That would be perfect.
Yeah.
I could see that happening.
I've always wanted to be a
stand-up comedian.
Oh, yeah.
No, I have not.
No, me either. Anyway, so yeah, welcome to the show.
It's called back of the bar napkin. I used to always say that, back of the bar napkin ideas, where it's like you wrote them down after a couple of glasses of wine. You thought that was a really great idea.
Yeah,
and then you came home and you're like, I'm not so sure about that anymore.
We'll just let that one slide.
I mean, that's my experience.
Yeah,
Probably not yours.
Probably not everyone's. No, I spent plenty of time writing things on bar napkins thinking that would be really cool the next day, and it wasn't.
Okay, there's better ways of saying that.
Yeah.
All right, but we have a guest today.
Oh, should we get to the guest?
I'm super excited about her. Yeah.
And I got to say... I have been waiting for us to get someone from the banking world because I have questions for bankers.
Yeah. Well, yeah. She can't reveal all the secrets, you know.
No. And I won't make it too hard on her. But do you want to introduce our guest?
Yeah. You know, I used to have a friend, before I introduce you, Melissa, Melissa Johnston, everyone. I used to have a friend who opened a bank out in, I think it was in Baltimore. And when she told me she was opening a bank, I'm like, who does that? And she said,
question.
I know exactly why no one does it, because it's easier to open a nuclear plant facility than it is to open a bank. The hoops and they have to go through. So hi.
Hi.
It's so good to have you here.
It's nice to be here. Thank you for having me.
I've been excited about this moment for a while because I know you, Melissa, but I don't know you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, did I say those no's in two different ways?
I think you've made it clear.
Yeah.
The difference. Well, aren't they? Yeah. I mean, it's the same word though. It's K-N-O-W, which is, you know, for those who English isn't their native language, how many no's do we have? Is it just...
Just
K-N-O-W?
Two.
Mm-hmm. N-O-W, is that right?
No.
But you know how there's a lot of words that are the same word.
Mm-hmm. N-O-E, is that like a word?
For you it is, sure.
Okay.
Today it is.
Thank
I'm
you.
Not saying no.
You're just saying that because I'm just getting off the flu. I know what you're doing.
Kinda.
He's totally going to mess with me today, people.
We want Juliet to feel better.
Yes, I do feel better, which is why I'm sitting here.
Yeah.
But I still sound pretty smoky, don't you think?
Yeah, you got a little in the...
Yeah.
A little... congested.
I don't know. I think it's a good radio voice. We'll have to hear from our listeners.
Maybe you'll want to do that all the time.
I know, right? Somebody has to come by and give Juliet a virus so she brings back the smoky voice.
I don't know if you want to stay sick all the time.
I don't think that's worth it.
So, Melissa.
Yes.
Here you are in our little podcast studio doing our little show. Divine Fucks... Divine Fox. I said Fox. It just didn't sound like it.
It didn't sound like it.
Divine Fox Productions. Boy, that's a great plug for our new company.
You know,
isn't
sex
it?
Sells, Sam.
Okay.
So I think we just leave it at that subtle mention.
It's an awfully sexy name for some reason. Anyway, so you come into our little spot here, and we're going to record this show with you. And the first thing, yeah, you already said it, but the first thing that comes to my mind is like, what kind of a crazy person opens up a bank? Why would you do this to yourself? Are you enjoying it? These are all one question, kind of, all at once.
Yes, I am enjoying it now. Okay. And it was a ton of work. And I tell people, it was sort of like when I went to get my MBA, my part-time MBA, I didn't really know the amount of work that would go into it. And I'm kind of glad I didn't.
Did you suspect it might be a lot of work?
I suspected it would be work. Yes. And it was more work than I anticipated. And parts of the prep to get the bank open were really a grind. Doing all the policies and procedures and the business plan. I mean, our final application that we turned into the regulators for approval was over 800 pages.
Oh, my gosh.
Wrote a novel to get. And I talk to people about it as well. I mean, it should be hard to open a bank. I mean, you FDIC insurance. I mean, it's taxpayers' money. You don't want just anyone being able to open a bank.
That's true.
I mean, we want the scrutiny. We want to make sure when people are taking other people's money that it's been properly vetted and things have been cared for and looked at and checked. And so
that you're not just a bookie.
All that. Yes. All that and more.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it was
for sure
it was
you want it to be well-regulated, and for sure it's got to be tough. It just seems like, so where did you grow up, you said?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So, So I grew up in southern Minnesota on a farm, and that was a wonderful experience. Learned really how to work hard. I mean, that was only the option.
How many siblings do you have, usually farm?
Two younger sisters.
That's it? Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh. That is not a typical farm family. Right. Oh, three girls must have worked your little butts off.
We did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Usually farm families are like, let's have seven, because by the time they get old enough to work, the younger ones will be born, and then they can help. And then
the third girl, you got to be like, shit, I don't know if we can do this anymore. What is a 50-50 chance again? We get another little girl.
I know, but girls are tough. There's nothing wrong with girls on the farm.
No, they're wonderful. But, you know, I grew up in Elk River, like rural, agrarian countryside, you know, and everybody lived on a farm. And there were a lot of farm girls. Tough as nails.
That's exactly. I know. I did not grow up on a farm, but my dad in Waseca. So southern, near where you grew up?
Yep.
So my dad grew up in Waseca, and he was the youngest of five. And that was kind of a small farm family back then. Mm-hmm. And we spent a lot of time they apparently had a lot of acres and spent a lot of time down in that area. And he tried to get me farm tough. Mm-hmm. But I was like, a city girl visiting the farm tough. So you really have the real stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's all I knew.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of farm?
Small town. Hogs and corn and soybeans.
Mm. So how many hogs?
By the time I left to go to college, my dad was up to over 10,000.
Okay. That's a
different
big
buildings.
Farm.
It was a big farm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We had like 15 pigs on the little farm that I lived on.
That's just a little tiny.
Oh, I mean 15.
Teeny tiny.
You know, that's just dinner. A couple of times a year. Sorry. That is what happens to them.
That is what happens to them.
I mean, I hope it didn't break anyone's heart there, but yes, you eat these animals. Did you say 10,000?
Mm-hmm. That's probably the most that we would have at any one time. So when I was young, my dad did what was called farrow to finish. So you'd basically have the breed, and they would, you'd take care of them as babies, and then you'd have to wean them away from their mother, clip their tails and teeth, give shots, do the whole process. And then as commercialized farming became more of a thing, then he actually had a contract with providers in Iowa, and it's called Hawkeye. Mm-hmm. And so we would get the pigs when they were about to 8 weeks old, right around there. And so that part would already be done. They'd be weaned, tails clipped, teeth cut, all of that. And so then we'd raise them for a period and then they would go to market. So we didn't have to do all the work of actually birthing.
Breeding.
I mean, that, yeah, breeding yeah. them was, that, when I grew up, up until I was probably a junior in high school, we did that whole
process. You did that whole process? Yeah. So what, you were like woken up in the middle of the night? Melissa,
more like
we have 3 cells in labor.
Get like up. 5 in the morning. Yeah, so yeah, when my kids wake up early to do anything before school, I don't feel sorry for them.
It's no.
Like I got up.
No, I know. You're the kind of parent that's probably like, when you say, I walk to school, you know, in uphill. Snow, uphill yeah. and downhill, uphill the both ways.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That you really did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 It was a lot of work.
By the time you got up this morning, I had already
washed out a couple barns. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. She's serious about it too. That's
I totally
thing.
Get it.
I mean, it's a real thing.
Yes.
It's a lot of work.
So did your sisters cry when you went to college?
Probably. Yeah.
That's
probably.
A huge, you were That's probably a huge loss for them.
Although by that time, my dad had a few hired hands.
Yep.
You know, he was more established with the help aspect. So, and things were more efficient because he wasn't doing all the, you know, we call it farrow to finish.
Mm-hmm.
So he was just doing more of like the middle part of the work. And then just everything was much more automated. I mean, when I was young, he made his own feed. We would have to make sure each of the bins were full of feed and water. And then by the time I left for college, I mean, everything was automated. The water.
Oh, I mean, yeah.
This is so much work.
Though. Amazing.
Were you, I mean, you built a bank. You started a bank. So I'm not going to ask you if you were a good student, but were you like a crazy kick-ass athlete too, like the farm gals in my hometown? That yeah, were you?
I was pretty athletic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Did you do all sorts
of? I never met a sport I didn't like. So
this is just so common.
I haven't found a sport I do like. That's interesting. We're like yin and yang.
Yeah, so you were kicking ass at I'm guessing basketball, maybe volleyball.
Mm-hmm. And then fast pitch softball.
Oh, and fast pitch softball and just crushing it. Yeah.
You could say that.
Yeah. She's being humble. She's like, well, I was all state this and I was that.
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's fun.
So where did you go to college then?
I went to South Dakota State.
South Dakota. I love that. What are they? No, don't. My friends will kill me if I don't remember.
You got this.
I got this. South Dakota. It's weird. It's like a weird thing. No, tell me what it is. Tell me what it is. What
three
is
syllables.
It? Three syllables. Sounds like...
The football team just won the FCS.
I know they did. I know they did. I'm going to blame
blue and yellow.
The congestion.
Is this SDSU then?
It is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I can't remember offhand either.
I know what they are, but I can't. What's that?
Starts with Jack.
Oh, of the Jackrabbits.
You got it.
I was going to say Jack of all trades.
Jackrabbits. I have two good friends who went there as well.
Okay.
And that's how they met, and they've been married for 30 years. So, yeah, they love that area.
Yes.
So what did you go to college for?
I actually got my degree in math.
Oh.
And then business and economics minor, and I played softball at SDSU.
Oh, you did?
So, yeah,
of course you did.
I pitched on the fast pitch team.
Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
Kicking ass out there. I can just...
We're going to find her weakness. We're going to find that she has a weakness.
No, somewhere. I don't think so.
Yeah.
I'm sort of terrified. Like, a little bit. Like, what? I mean, I know how it works.
And your sisters.
Yeah.
So where did your sisters go to college?
Yeah, so one of them started at Winona, transferred to Duluth, and then the other one went to St. Cloud State.
Hmm.
So
also athletes?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And softball was our main, all three of us was our main sport, and we were all pitchers. So my dad loved it.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
He had a lot of bruised shins and
I was gonna say
kneecaps for about a 16-year period.
He needed some pads, right?
Yeah, eventually.
Yeah.
Figuring that out.
Yeah.
Does he still farm?
Yes. Funny you should ask. He actually just retired from corn and soybeans last fall. So that was his last harvest, and I was pretty emotional about it.
Yeah.
I'm 44 years old. That's all I've ever known is my dad farming.
Right.
And he has an auction next Thursday at the farm to sell all of his equipment. I'm just like...
So the farm, they're keeping the farm, but they're,
they're selling the whole farm, selling everything.
What's the plan? I'm so excited.
Yeah, so they have grandkids now. Each of my sisters have children. I have children. And so their full-time job has been watching their grandkids play sports. So
this is so up their alley.
Soccer. They're just at all the things all the time. They can't wait. Like when the schedules come out, they're like calling the kids like, did you get the schedule yet? When is it? And they're trying to fit everything in. So they want to move further towards the city.
I was going
to
say.
And equidistant to Rochester. So kind of the Northfield area. That's where my one sister lives in Rochester.
Yeah, that'd be
that's
nice.
Nice part of the state. Too.
Yeah.
So do you, both your sisters live in the area?
My younger sister lives in Eden Prairie.
Okay.
And my other sister lives in Rochester, so not far. So.
And how big was the farm?
My dad farmed about 2,000 acres of corn and soybeans, and then he gave up the hogs. A few years ago, he sold the hog operation, but still lived there with the pigs, so we could still smell the money, just weren't making the money.
She didn't even use bacon in that.
Because
she
hog should farms could've... don't necessarily smell all that
great. No, they smell terrible, but if you... but she could have referred to money as bacon, and so I was like waiting for the bacon.
Yeah.
Like I wanted to say bacon at some point.
I don't think if you're a banker, you can use cheddar or bacon
right.
or lettuce or any of those things. It's money.
So that's did your parents...
She just quietly says, mm-hmm.
You don't say bacon because there's so much more to a cow, a pig, a hog.
They're very different.
Yeah. Very different. Did your parents encourage you to go outside of farming?
We didn't really talk about that. I mean, they just kind of let us do what we wanted to do.
Yeah.
I mean, they didn't really talk about, hey, are you interested? And I think they just picked up on it.
That
wasn't really, I mean, we all helped. And my middle sister was the most vocal about not enjoying it.
That's what us middle girls do.
My youngest sister and I, we participated in all the chores, and I felt like it was good bonding for my dad and I, but I never really, you know, looked forward to it. Like,
right.
Oh, I can't wait to get out and walk beans or drive tractor, or, you know, we all just did it.
That's farming talk.
And so
I know.
Walking beans.
Walking
beans.
I like
that, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Walking, do you sometimes just like pull over on the side of the road and walk through a bean field just to do it again?
No, but there is something. There is something satisfying about weeding my own garden.
Oh, there
like
you
it
go.
Does, yeah. It does bring me back to those days. Mm-hmm.
I love that. Okay, you went to college.
Yep.
And then what was your job? Did you go straight into a job after that?
I did, yes. So I had an adjunct professor at South Dakota State that taught banking classes.
Ooh.
So Gordon Ullman from the Fishback Financial Corporation, that's what really inspired me to be interested in banking.
But did that professor mean you could manage a bank?
No, I did not.
Hey, I'm teaching a class on how to start a bank.
I mean, up until I was approached by an investor, Dan, in late 2019, it was not on my radar to start a bank.
Right.
It's not something I set out to do. Like, I'm always going to find a way to get this bank off the ground. That was not on my mind. No.
It wasn't until someone was like, I have this idea, but I can't do it without you.
Right. Well, he wasn't quite that forthright about it, but Dan said, I would like to start a bank and I'd like you to consider being on the founding team. So that's what really got me thinking about it. Prior to that, it was like, what?
Why would I want to do that? Like we're all saying every time we say she started a bank, we're like, why would she want to do that?
Well, plus, I mean, most anybody who starts a business is going to run into that question at some point. You're like, why did I do this? What was I thinking?
I don't know. As an entrepreneur. Okay. So the shift into entrepreneurial thinking is recent.
I mean, I would say I've always had an entrepreneurial mindset. I've always been bringing new ideas and bringing visions and, hey, we've done it like this before. Did we ever think about doing this? That's always been how I've thought. And it's, I mean, I get it from my dad. I mean,
right.
That's how he's wired, is finding.
He was innovating on the farm.
Super. Yeah. Always looking for ways of efficiencies. And I mean, being a farmer is an entrepreneurial mindset.
100%.
I mean, you have absolutely to know all. Yeah. So I've always had that. And then when I got my MBA, I actually did a portfolio concentration in entrepreneurship. And what I did for that was really, for me, it was trying to get into the heads of my clients. You know, what are they going through? What do they have to put together?
Oh, to learn about the entrepreneurs that would be coming through the door of the bank.
Correct.
Yeah. What their mindset might be.
Absolutely. Yeah. And just what goes into the entrepreneurial journey. So that was really helpful to have that portfolio concentration in my MBA program. That was awesome.
That's interesting. I love that. That says a lot about you, Melissa, to take an MBA about entrepreneurism when you don't really plan to be an entrepreneur, but just to understand your clients better.
Thank you. Yeah.
I'm in full disclosure, we're clients.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, we are, aren't we?
Yeah, we are.
Yeah. That's right. You took care of that end of it, you know. In fact, I would say, like, it's best to just leave me out of all of the bank inside of everything.
Who's Sam?
I don't understand money well. Yeah. I never have.
No, it's all good. I love that. Okay, so now I want to kind of dig into that, because a lot of our listeners listen to us because either they are entrepreneurs and they're struggling, or they're rocking it, or they're people like you who think that they think entrepreneurially. Mm-hmm. I think that was a good way of putting it. But a lot of times the think like that position is much different than reality. Mm-hmm. And what happens is there's so many bumps in the road, mm-hmm. right? There's just so many bumps in the road. Mm-hmm. And so how did that manifest then in reality? I mean, what were the surprises, without giving away any secrets that we'll have to cut out?
Right, of course.
I don't think there's secrets in that part, right? This is really about the journey.
Yes. Like any journey, getting things going, you're always, like you said, going to hit, I call them snags, mm-hmm. right? Where you're just trucking along and all of a sudden you get, snagged by something. And we were in that camp. We definitely hit those. And it's funny because my partners and I, we talk about the fact that if someone would have told us to put a list together, I mean, of course we had the list of all the things we needed to do in an Excel spreadsheet, which was like 15 pages long.
Math majors.
If we had to separate even just a short list of, like, these are the things that are going to go smoothly, be fairly easy, that you can tackle without a lot of consternation. And then here's another list of, like, ooh, these are the ones that are going to cause a little friction, take a little longer. If we would have put those two lists together.
Do you think it would ask, like, do you think it might be possible to do that before you do that? Or do you think that's just sort of like only you can only see that?
We had those in our minds of, like, this is going to be easy. We'll allocate this much time to it. This is not going to be easy. We have to set up multiple meetings. Okay. We have to be prepared. So we kind of, on the fly, we're talking about that. But if we would have had to put those lists together, my point is, and we talk about this now, that those lists basically swapped. So
the ones you thought were going to be easy.
Oh, yeah. The ones we thought that were going to be easy that are like, okay, slam dunk, 45 minutes, we'll knock this one out. Those took like 3 months. And then the things that were like, okay, this is going to take a while. It's going to be a big decision. Like, for example, our core provider. We thought we'd all disagree on who our banking platform provider would be. There's multiple options out there. We've all used different platforms. Like, this is going to take us 3 months. We all agreed. Like, right away, almost
day
after
one.
The first meet.
Yeah.
So it was crazy how you just couldn't predict. And I think that's true for every entrepreneur. It's so hard to predict the things that are going to just be, straight down the fairway, no problems. This is going to manifest itself exactly the way I think. And then these, this is going to be challenging. I need to, get a team surrounding me to support that. You just don't know how things are going to develop or what's going to come up. And
it comes up every time. I mean,
it comes up every time.
This is a common theme here on our show is the just sort of the unpredictable nature of doing these things. So, yeah, it makes sense that you would that you would have
for example,
lists.
Yeah, totally. And then, for example, our name, I thought, oh, coming up with a name of a bank, like it's not going to be that hard. It's, you know, it's going to be so easy.
That is the hardest part.
Seriously. Like,
why is that the hardest part?
Because all the good names are taken.
Well, even if the good
not
names
really.
Are taken, it's
not
so
really.
Hard to commit.
It's hard to commit. And then you have the domain name issue.
Yes.
Like we found out there's so many squatters out there that just take these domain names and you have to pay, you know, $100,000 to $2 million to get the, and we wanted a simple domain name.
Right.
And it's like, and then names are trademarked that aren't being used, but you can't use them because they have 15 months to use them and then they renew and then they, oh my gosh, it was like.
It was easier to name my children than my businesses.
Which was also hard, but
yeah,
not as hard.
That's right, not as hard, not nearly as hard.
But when you don't, when you name your children, you don't have to go to the federal government and ask them if there's someone else using that name
right.
for a child right. right around your age. Yeah. You know, like, that.
It's still a lot of pressure, though.
It's a ton of pressure, but a whole different thing.
It is a whole different thing.
It's yeah. a whole different thing. It's a, it's, I agree. I, why is that naming Avidedge was a complete crazy, like, I was so done with that. I'm like, whatever the next two words people say to me are the names of the business. That's what I felt like saying.
That point.
I don't even care.
I've yeah. sort of, like, the things that I've named, I've sort of embraced the, like, it's not like it's been easy, but something comes along and I'm like, yep, that's it. I'm not looking anymore. Like, mm-hmm. I'm just not doing it.
Which sounds great. And then you get a cease and desist for the name that you chose because
sure.
somebody thought it was too close to theirs. And then yeah. it's back
right.
to the drawing.
And I've never done
and that's
like
what
a bank.
We faced. That's
like a bank is pretty important. People
did you have a different name?
We had a different name. Oh, yeah. Website done, private placement
shit.
Memorandum, templates, all the things. And then, yeah, before we opened, we got a cease and desist from a bank out of state that said it was too close to their name.
Too close. And then you don't want to fight that.
At that point, I mean, we did for a while because
yeah.
our attorney was like, you will win. And then it got to the point where we just needed to make a business
You'll win,
decision.
But you'll be ground to the ground before it happens.
Right.
You'll be like, ugh.
Plus, and it sucks your attention away from what you're trying
attention.
To build a business here. Like,
yeah.
how much litigation do you want to deal with?
None.
Correct.
Is that name important?
Zero.
But I can imagine a lot of banking names were taken because I was just out in Colorado and there was like Breckenridge Bank.
Yeah.
Like, or Breckenridge Ski Slope Bank or something. It was something like so narrow and small like that, that I thought, wow, well, there's a lot of these little local banks.
Mm-hmm. Oh, tons.
Mm-hmm.
So,
you know,
but the name of your bank is?
Entra Bank.
Entra?
Mm-hmm.
And how do you spell it?
It's short for entrepreneur.
Oh.
So you take the part off that's hard to spell and hard to say, and you just say,
Entrebank.
It's the French part.
E-N-T-R-E. And so some people try to get real fancy with it. And they're
oh,
like,
I know how to get
fancy. Bank and entry bank. And
I thought it was entree.
No, that's okay.
But is it E-N-T-R-A?
E-N-T-R-E.
Oh, okay. But you entree still bank. Do it entre. Or you pronounce it entre.
Because it's short for entrepreneur.
I get it. I've got, you know, friends whose names look like something, but then they pronounce it differently. Like, all right, well, I guess I'll have to learn that. But entre, I like that.
Mm-hmm. I know that what you just said is like such a great example. Like people's names where I'm like, I'm sure I've said that before. I've seen this name. I can say this name. I have two friends that are, this is side note. I have two friends. One, their name is spelled, K-A-R-E-N.
Mm.
And the other one, their name is spelled K-A-R-I-N. And which one do you think is pronounced Karen?
Right. I don't want to make a guess.
It's the I-N one, which doesn't make any sense, right? The other one's Karen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's whatever. I mean, it's a choice and it's a thing that happens and then you got to stick with it. So entre. So do you, I mean, I imagine you kind of have to correct people sometimes gently.
Yeah.
Not like you're standing outside
really
the bank.
I don't really correct people unless they're going to be blasting it on the radio or, you know, this is kind of a funny story, but my husband forego his football salary, his stipend, so that we could advertise for Hopkins football because we didn't have an advertising budget last year. He's like, well, I'll just set aside my $3,000 and we'll have Entrebank.
Okay,
be a sponsor.
There's a lot of information missing there. So he was coaching for Hopkins.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm glad you caught that because I'm like,
wait a second. We haven't even talked about your husband yet.
No.
Who's that guy?
Well, he's a big part of our story. So he gave up his coaching, his $3,000 he would have got for helping coach.
Coaching
so that
football.
We could, yeah, so that we could have some visibility for Entrebank. So the first game of the season, and we're proud to announce our sponsor, Entry Bank. I'm like, honey,
you couldn't have got that part right.
Salary for us to be a sponsor. Like, and he's like, I gave him a pronunciation key. So I'm like,
Entry Bank.
And I'm like, oh.
No one
so then I'm going to correct you. But if we're just having a conversation or then I don't. I mean, it's.
Well, the explanation is sitting right in front of, I mean, it's like in the name of our podcast.
Right.
Entrepreneur. It's like, it totally makes sense.
Entrebank. Now I get it. Now I can say it.
Yeah.
With confidence.
With confidence. Mm-hmm.
With confidence. And so what do you think is, well, let's just talk about you. Where are we at? Do we have to take a break? Do we have to? Is it time?
I mean, I was going to suggest we should.
Okay. All right. Let's take a break. And then I kind of want to dive into, like, first, I want to find more about this husband of yours. And then...
Well, it's inside the hearts.
Inside the hearts and minds.
Yeah.
No, I'm kidding. But yeah, we should talk about
it. Yeah.
And,
why not?
And then, like, what makes a bank good for entrepreneurs?
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
what I want to know. Like, I'm a client. And I'm not sure I could articulate that, but I'm an idiot too.
Oh, so, come on.
I don't.
But you're a new client, so yeah, give yourself grace.
I'm a new client. I'm a new client that has only made 2 deposits and no withdrawals.
Proud deposits. That's a good for a business.
I'm very proud of the 2 deposits that we have made.
I mean, better than some entrepreneurs. That's don't right. ever make any deposits.
I've made 0 withdrawals.
Yeah. Which. Mm-hmm. That's good too.
Pat yourself on the back for that.
But I think that's, I'd like to talk about that because when entrepreneurs, I mean, here's the thing, like, here's a question. So it's not even a question, but let's tee it up for when we come back. I'm sorry, I just sniffled right in the microphone. Hopefully,
but it's not a question.
Hopefully we can take that sniffle out of there.
Now you're good.
The decisions, like you said, the 16-page spreadsheet. I mean, even if you're opening up a popsicle shop, you have 16 pages of decisions to make. Mm-hmm. And it's like, where do I go bank? What credit card should I get? Mm-hmm. Should I use a virtual assistant? What does that even mean?
Insurance
right?
for this?
What insurance do I need? And do I believe the guy that's giving me a quote? You know what I mean? So like, even like from that point of view, when you're making a bank decision, like what criteria should you even use as an entrepreneur?
Yeah.
I think that would be super valuable.
Yeah. It's a good question. And it is tough to know those things. So we'll talk about that when we come back.
I think that's a super great idea.
It was your idea. You better think it was a great idea. All right. We'll come back.
Here you are. You've made it to the middle of the show. Buckle up because second half is going to be even.
It's different. It's very always different. It's, things, the little train goes off the rails or whatever. The whole bus.
It usually does. By the second half, we're relaxed.
It's coming.
Here it comes.
Yeah. I talk too much. Middle. See ya.
Bye.
Have fun.
Welcome back to our show.
Hey, yeah.
We have a new way of coming back to the show that we're all kind of like deer in the headlights. I think.
Know.
Oh.
I don't know what it means.
We
we'll figure this out.
We should go now.
It's fine.
We are back. We didn't do much interesting things during the break. People always want to know that. Yeah, well, we did. We went for a run and we got some coffee and went to a gift shop. We didn't do any of that.
I have a cheeseburger. No.
So,
Melissa, banking.
That's what Melissa, banking.
Yep. Well, no, I'm So you asked some questions before the break. You had some questions.
I did.
And let's get back into that.
Let's get back into that. I'm curious.
Think of the rest of my questions.
Who is your husband? No, I'm kidding. Yeah. We're talking about the bank.
No, that's good.
Okay, tell us about you.
Yeah,
tell us about your husband. Well, and your kids. So you have three kids.
I have three kids. And what's funny, when you mentioned your friend from South Dakota State that met their spouse there and have been together, that's my story too.
Little jackrabbit
is love in the air.
Yeah, he loves telling the kids that, yeah, your mom would come into math class, her backpack all jammed full of stuff, her glove falling out, her hair in a sideways ponytail, like looked like she just got out of bed, and she didn't care what anybody thought of her or anything. She sat right in the front row.
She dutifully did her homework because she was smarter than all the rest of them there.
He wouldn't say that.
Really?
I don't. Well, maybe. He's the thing about my husband. He's an engineer and he is brilliant. It's funny because being an athlete, I would have to go out of town for tournaments or do. So it's kind of like, okay, who knows this class? Oh, Bo Johnston. Okay, he would be my
that
friend.
That was it.
Well,
that was the only. There wasn't some part of you that was like, oh, Bo Johnston.
Not initially, because he was a football player, and
Did he play for the Jackrabbits?
Yes.
Oh my gosh!
I still tease him because the football players are so clicky.
Like, are they?
Yeah. I kind of thought he was stuck up. I didn't really.
Well, he was. You brought him back down to earth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then he would be injured, so his wrist, his ankle, his knee, and so. He was in the training room a lot. And so I randomly said to him one day, like, why are you always in here? And then he looked at me. This is how we still are with each other. And then he looked at me and he said, why are you always in here? And I'm like, because I'm a pitcher. And he was like, you were so precious about it. I'm a pitcher. They need to take care of my arm.
What position did he play?
He started defensive end and then shifted to tight end.
Oh, a big guy.
Yep, big, could strong.
Catch the ball.
Guy could catch the ball, agile. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
Yep.
Where is he from?
He's from South Dakota.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We'll forgive him for that.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with being from South Dakota.
Okay.
So over 20 years we've been together. Over half of our life we've been together.
Wow. So, how old are your kids?
15, 15, and 10.
Oh, twinsies.
Twin boys. Yes, that are freshmen in high school, so we're navigating life with teenagers.
Oh my gosh,
that's all exciting.
But I love that spread. My kids were 5 years apart.
Okay,
so I also had two pregnancies, but I only have two kids.
Okay,
but 5 years apart was a brilliant break between kids. Mm-hmm. And I don't know about you, mine was planned. Yours may or may not have been. Yeah, but I. The older one never felt threatened by the attention my younger one got. Yeah, she always wanted to like be a part of the parenting, even though her parenting style was
it's hard
probably not life lasting.
8 years old or whatever. Yeah.
Exactly. Oh. Are your kids athletic?
They are. Mm-hmm. So we still have three sport athletes, despite. Ben and Will, a lot of their friends are down to one sport now, their freshman year, and they still like playing all three. And I think if they had to choose today, they would say football. That kind of bubbles up to
me. So football, basketball, baseball?
Yep.
No kidding.
Wow.
I almost used a swear, but no.
You checked yourself. Your daughter was speaking in your ear.
Well, kind of you too. Remember when, I mean, that was kind of cute going back to college, because remember how, like, sort of sweet and innocent everything was? Like, you didn't really know why you wanted to be in the same space as Bo Johnston or whatever, but we come to find out, like, there is some actual stirring or some reason in there. Like, that's kind of cute. And then you two are still together, and you got kids. Mm-hmm. Your kids are athletic.
And 20 years. Mm-hmm. Isn't it amazing how time goes by so fast?
Yeah.
I know. I've been married twice. This is my second marriage, but I've been married for over 21 years.
Wow.
Same, right?
Yes.
And it's like, what happened? How did this happen?
Wait a minute. How long have you been married?
Over 21 years, DeForest.
And you?
21.
Yeah.
20.
I know, oh, right?
Wow.
22.
Oh, my gosh. You guys, we should go on a cruise together.
I think I got the most years of marriage under my belt, though.
We'll celebrate our 25th together. It'll be all
That's right.
Enough.
It'll be super fun.
That's cute.
And you guys have kids, so that'll make it fun for me.
There we go.
Because I like having kids. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, all right.
Okay, so that how did Bo feel about, hey, Bo, I'm going to quit my job and start a bank?
Yeah, so he never pressured me either way. He was like, whatever you want to do, honey.
Yeah, why does it have to be about Bo?
I need more help deciding.
I mean, it's a partnership.
It is a partnership.
And it's a legal partnership.
It is, but she's tough.
I know.
Tough as nails. She wants to open a bank. You let her open a bank.
You're right.
Here's the thing.
You are right.
I wanted him to be more definitive with his answer. And he was just like, if you want to do it, let's do it. If you don't, then we won't. And I'm like, but what should we do? I don't know.
Oh, so he wanted a little help.
Well, yeah. I mean, I
help you through the decision-making process.
Yeah. He's like, you got to figure out if that's what you want to do. And I was like, but I don't know. It's a huge...
I've had this same conversation with my partner. Mm-hmm. Like, should I do it? I don't know. Should I? And he's like, you do you, baby. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, mm-hmm. That's not helping. Ask me some hard questions or something. Yeah,
damn supportive.
Damn it.
Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, though, it was good for him. I'm grateful he was that way because it made me do the work. It made me dive deep into it to figure out, do I want to do this? Am I committed? Does it feel like the right decision for me, for the family, for my clients? Because ultimately, I mean, I had a non-solicit agreement, so I couldn't talk to my clients for a year. And that was really hard because I had these long-standing relationships that I wanted to keep going and felt really connected to my clients. And so, yeah, so a lot of things went into the decision. And so, yeah, he just every time I bring it up, he's like, well, what do you want to do? What feels right? What?
So do you have one location?
We have one location.
Okay.
Yep.
And do you, is it like, do you feel like when you walk in, everyone's like, oh, there's the boss lady. Like it's you.
No, I don't feel that at all. And
do you walk in like, what's her name? Prada's.
Devil Wears Prada.
Do you walk in like Devil Wears Prada? Or do you walk in like, what's another good example? I'm thinking of the one that is, what's his name? He was so grumpy at the Oscars. Older guy. He's in those, what about the Fockers movies?
Oh,
the dad,
De Niro?
Robert De Niro.
None of that.
No, mm-mm.
It was a joke. I was teasing you. You can't answer that question.
You know, it'd be funny. She walked in every day, and once she hit the ground in the office, she had a softball in her hand, right?
Yeah.
And everybody has to be on alert because you never know who she's going to throw it to. Oh, like hilarious. She starts winding up.
Rules with an iron fist and a softball.
It's like, you better get my God, work. Here comes Melissa. Get your mitts out.
Yeah, you just don't strike me as that kind of a boss. No. I get it. I was teasing. Of course, it's, where is it?
So we are right by the Mall of America. So just on the west side by the Great Wolf Lodge.
Okay, that's kind of prime real estate in that
area. Yeah, yeah, we really like it. Parking's easy.
They have a big sign in the building.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Got ourselves a sign.
Entre Bank.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I get it now.
Entre Bank.
You made it make sense to us.
Yay, good.
Yeah, it's good.
We said it while you were gone in the break. We said it like five times.
We're like, oh,
Entre Bank. So we were looking at your backpack.
Oh.
And we're like, I don't know, would it be easier if the B was small? Entre Bank.
Don't make her second guess. It looks great.
No, it great is logo. Amazing.
Everything's perfect.
Everything's perfect. It is
okay,
perfect.
So let's get down to brass tacks, nuts and bolts, whatever you want to say.
Mm-hmm.
I'm an entrepreneur. What does that mean? It's entrepreneur. Remember, we did the French. I was going to do it earlier. Yeah, I heard a Frenchman say it while he was in my presence. I was hanging out with him. He told me that's how it's pronounced.
Wow.
But anyway, wow.
We don't even know if he's doing it right or not.
It's totally right.
Learning. We're just like leaning into his learning.
Yeah. My experience here. no, so I, here's the thing. There are going to be people who listen to this show or watch this show, and there are going to be the spectrum is so broad mm-hmm. for entrepreneurship and just what that all means. And we love getting into the fact that people can employ entrepreneurial thinking in mm-hmm. things that it doesn't have to mean that you started a business.
Right.
But your bank is there to support people who did start a business, mm-hmm. right? That's one big part of it.
It's a big part of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, Juliet had asked earlier kind of like, what does that mean or something? Mm-hmm. And from the perspective of a person who's started multiple businesses, like for me early on, it was easiest to walk into a competitor of yours who's got a nationally recognized name.
Mm-hmm. It's okay.
There's a lot of choices there. You're not, yeah.
No, I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just, I just don't want to promote them because I'm not that, you know.
I know, don't.
Attached.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not attached to them. And I, you know, they've got their own trouble. But anyway, like, how is an early stage entrepreneur? Someone who is not just an early stage entrepreneur, an early stage business owner, mm-hmm. Supposed to know how to form those banking relationships, with whom they should form those banking relationships. Is it if I'm starting a little construction company like I used to have, mm-hmm. are you the right bank for that? Or do I have to be in tech? Do I have mm-hmm. to be like what business qualifies to be a patron of your business?
Yeah. Thank you for asking. And it's really any industry, any life cycle. So we like to use the phrase entrepreneur being anyone that is making bold moves, taking risks, and having a positive impact. So we have some nonprofits that bank with us. We have folks that don't really identify as an entrepreneur. They may be a third generation owner, or they may be a private equity fund or a family office, something like that, where it's sort of like you said, it's really the entrepreneurial thinking. It's not necessarily...
The word isn't for everybody. It doesn't describe every part of what goes into business or business relationships, but it's out there.
Exactly.
We all know the word.
Yeah. And
you
we wanted to stand for something. We wanted to have a niche, which is why that came up.
Yep.
And we feel like the folks that we are, myself, Todd Hovland, the bank president, Tim Veery, our CEO, our CFO, our chairman, Dan Beckerman, who brought us all together, we are all relationship-based people that resonate with entrepreneurs. So we all have that mindset of being innovative, taking initiative, keeping an open mind, being able to shift when we need to. So we really like to talk with people that are at any stage of the process, whether they're a startup, whether early stage, second, third generation, any of those pieces, to just say, what are the opportunities that you're looking at? What are the challenges you're facing? Where have you been? Where are you looking to go to? Where are you at now? How can we support you in that journey?
And so can a business owner walk through the doors of your bank and sort of expect to find someone that they can actually sit down and talk to?
Absolutely. Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
I know. That's a good question, actually, nowadays. Yeah.
It shouldn't be rare, and it is rare now.
It's super rare. I when I was in my first banking relationship started when I was in high school, and mm-hmm. I took a 2-hour auto mechanics class so that I could use the facilities to repair cars and sell them to make money. I didn't really care about the class. I just wanted to use the stuff to make money, but I had to buy the cars. So I bought repairable cars and I went to the bank, and this is coming back to banking. Mm-hmm. There was a banker at the bank who looked at me as a 17-year-old, and I said, I need $2,500 to buy this damaged car. And then I need another $2,000 for the parts to fix it, and I can sell it for $10,000 when I'm done fixing it. Can I? Mm-hmm. How do I get that money? Mm-hmm. And there's no way he should have given me a loan, but he did, mm-hmm. right? And it was a balloon. I learned a little bit about banking. It was a balloon mm-hmm. payment loan. I was to pay it off after 3 months or whatever. And I did that. I did that with the first one successfully, then another couple. And then when I went to college, I used the same mechanism to pay for college. Mm-hmm. I would get a balloon loan from the same guy.
Wow.
And take my classes, work, pay him, not have debt, right? Since then, I haven't had, like, I don't even know the name of a single banker, you know, like mm-hmm. that.
Yes, you do.
Well, now I do. But that type of closeness allowed this person had the ability to look at a 17-year-old kid and say, okay, we'll take this little risk with this guy and we'll see what happens. And then gave me, it was meaningful to me. Mm-hmm. And then when I bank with the big banks who've got the ATMs all over the place, which is mm-hmm. convenience, I don't feel at all connected to mm-hmm. my bankers. Mm-hmm. So you're saying your bank, are you positioning yourself like my old bank was, the Bank of Elk River when I was a kid, where you can actually go in and talk to someone and form a relationship?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm not super familiar with that bank. Familiar with that concept. And that's how I've always operated just as a human. And I think being with my dad on the farm and being part of that process with him, doing the bookkeeping for my dad, when the banker would come to the house, it's like seeing them kind of go through the numbers, talk through the situation, walk around the farm, talk about his line of credit, his equipment needs, and that sort of thing. It was like, wow, that is really critical to his success, right? Having this partner, having him renew his line of credit, having him help him buy a tractor and buy it. So just kind of being around that as a kid and seeing that relationship where my dad and his banker were friends. Our families knew each other. We did parties together and picnics together. And I mean, that's the type of banker that I like to be, where I get to know my clients, their businesses, their life, their kids. We host events. So this morning, Juliet, I know you had intended to go and are just still getting over this sickness, but we love to host events where we can bring experts together to talk about topics that are important to our clients. And so it's the educational piece, it's the networking piece, the connections. And so it's really just being a good resource and being a good partner that we know our clients really appreciate.
I agree. I mean, some of the things that you've offered, I was signed up to go to that, right? So it was like financing for small business.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And what I find interesting about that is that a lot of the things I've seen come out have been almost opposite to your business, right? It is purely to support entrepreneurs and mm-hmm. purely to support what you're seeing as a need for entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. And so I wonder, like, when somebody rocks up, like, say I'm not 17, but,
mm-hmm. right,
you know, a little bit older than that. But, you know, usually back in the day when we would go to get a loan from a bank or set up a banking or whatever it is, we would really have to polish up, right? Like, here's my pitch, here's my thing. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that is kind of being put to the wayside, and that, especially with you, your bank, and it's like, well, what? Tell me what you need. Tell me what you need. Tell me what you're doing. Mm-hmm. You know, the kinds of questions that you all asked me before I went was, what kind of partner do you want to have? Mm-hmm. Like,
from the bank?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, what are you trying to do? Like, you know, so that they can sort of tee up that understanding of who I am. So when I do then come in for another question, they have an answer for me. Mm-hmm. Right. So what if I came to you guys and said, I'm just trying to make up a problem. I mean, there's so many possibilities for entrepreneurs. Like, I need a new space and my lease is not done, or, you know, all of that. What do you do with a client like that? Do you have resources you send them to, or?
It's a combination of factors. So some of our clients, like you said, come in really prepared, really polished, business plan, forecast, budget. You know, they've thought through all the scenarios and they're just sort of very well planned for the request. Others may not be. It may be like, my lease is coming due, I might want to buy a building, what do I need to know? And we see all of those, and we want to support the life cycle and the needs of all of our clients. So it's a different approach. I mean, it's, if you haven't done a forecast or done a budget, we have resources to help you. We have templates, there's websites. So today during the Financing for Small Businesses event, we had four panelists from different community-based financing partners present on their different options. And then we had several handouts with resources and websites and places for folks to go because sometimes they're just not bank ready, right? So sometimes they need a little bit more technical assistance of like putting that business plan together, doing that for, and we're not able to like sit down with you and help you write your business plan. We can read it over once it's put together and tell you, okay, you have a few gaps in the marketing section or your budget isn't fully dialed in. I think you're missing a few expenses. You know, we can review it. But we're not going to be able to provide all that technical assistance. So that's where we really try to match up where the client's at with what they need.
Yeah.
So really knowing that support system in our community to be able, and there's so many great programs out there to support small to mid-sized businesses.
I don't think most people know them.
No, they
right?
don't.
And it's because we're constantly bombarded with, I can solve this problem for you. I can solve
always
that problem.
So it's, sell you something.
It's, mm-hmm. it's who do you trust, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I think it's really hard to figure out who's good mm-hmm. because you know how I found it out? I accidentally hired someone. And then I went through the process and I'm like, this didn't help, mm-hmm. you know, like that didn't work. You're not helping me or you didn't mm-hmm. finish the job or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And so it's so hard to know. Mm-hmm. And here you are, this is like what you said, right? So all the things you think are easy, mm-hmm. like picking a bank mm-hmm. or, you know what I mean? All the things you think are easy. Now suddenly you have to like do this full research project mm-hmm. to see which are legitimate companies that have done something. And, you know, you can do references, but you have to actually be in a network to be able to do that. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, do you know somebody who can do graphic design? That's not going to cost me, you know, an arm and a leg to be able to do that. So I feel like it's nice to know there's someone who's thinking about that stuff.
Right.
I don't know how you do that without it eventually becoming spoiled where, you know, you have a referral system, right? Mm-hmm. We've talked a lot about that with the Founders Project.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's.
And I think people, their accountant, insurance agent, attorney, banker, they all know other good insurance agents, bankers, accountants. So I think if you have a resource, someone that's an advisor to you that you trust, and you don't, and you're looking for another advisor, let's say it's a banker, I always recommend talk to your insurance agent.
Right.
And talk to me. If you want to hire a small business attorney to help you buy a business and you don't know who to talk to, I know a lot of good attorneys. My
right.
clients have used a lot of really good attorneys. And so that's where we can help support that entrepreneurial ecosystem based on the referral partners and the connections that we have to help those entrepreneurs who are doing it a lot of times their first time.
Oh my gosh. I hope you don't annoy all the questions that I'm going to be asking you as we go forward. Wait, she does have all these connections, right? Yeah.
Well, you're describing like the four scariest people out there for most small business owners mm-hmm. when they first start out. Like mm-hmm. you want me to talk to an attorney, a tax person, a banker, like all of these people. It just sounds. And what was the other one?
Insurance agent.
Yeah. Oh God, insurance too. I mean, everything about that sounds like this is going to cost me a lot of money. I'm going to get. You know, like I'm going to find out later that I was overcharged. I know when I first started my construction company, I bought insurance for, you know, the first person who was recommended to me was $5,000 or $6,000 a year. And that sounded reasonable. And I bought it. And then I went a couple of years later, someone was like, why are you insuring with them? Like you can get that for $500 a year. You're mm-hmm. that's because you don't do this volume. And I'm like, well, wait a minute now. That's $4,500 a year I lost.
Exactly.
Because I didn't have the information.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think that, you know, a lot of small business owners, when you're first starting out, they're just sort of terrified of those results.
Well, and you don't have that anchor relationship, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, you might provide that anchor relationship mm-hmm. that is, here's the referral system within that. I do know some bankers insurance agent, like whatever that anchor is, like it's your financial advisor or it's your accountant.
That's another really good
or financial yeah, advisor, yep. Or whatever that those folks are. If you don't have that anchor relationship, that's where the floundering usually happens. Yeah. Like, how do you find that anchor relationship where you can ask for all those other things? Mm-hmm. I have some good anchor relationships. Melissa, one of the things that I always wanted to ask you about is that you and I have a very similar philosophy because I see you at all the events, right? So Melissa and I see each other at a lot of events, and a lot of what we do and talk about what we do is said there. Our relationships are made there. And then we understand relationships.
So important.
It's important. And then I think what happens is that, you know, so say I'm at a graphic designer in my networking and they seem like a really great person, but I've never actually worked with them or I don't know anyone who has. I mean, I just met them at this. They're doing the same thing I'm doing. So I have been referred to someone because of that, like that relationship. And I didn't ask that one layer question. Have you worked with them?
Right. Are they any good?
Right. Have you worked with them? Have you used them? You know what, or even when you meet I met them and I need a graphic designer and I'm like, oh, I've met a graphic designer. Yay. I found it. Right. In the sense that they haven't been referred to me. I ran into them in some random spot.
Right.
How do I discern who's good here?
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is hard to know. And I think, I mean, as you stated with your experience with your insurance agent, I mean, you have to give yourself grace too. I mean, it's one of those things where you're going to learn along the way. Not every partner, every relationship or vendor, however you want to say a partnership, is going to be delightful, right? You're going to have some.
No, in fact, the majority of them don't end up all that delightful.
So I think it's unrealistic for anyone to say, I'm starting a business and every partner I choose is going to work out perfectly. I mean, that's just completely unrealistic. Ideally, you want more of them to be fruitful than not.
And not expensive mistakes.
However, there may be a few and that's okay. I don't want anyone to think that, oh, I've got to get this choice right and I've got to get that choice right. And you're just not going to do that.
No, and you can't do it on your own anyway. Like you can't insure your own business. You can't be your own business, you know, bank for your own business. So the partnerships, whether they're external or internal, they're necessary. They're just difficult, you know, but you've got to forge them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's okay to ask for references too. I mean, I think that if you talk with anyone, a banker, financial advisor, to just say, hey, could I talk to a reference? I mean, they have to have them. And even if they give you their three best clients, you're still going to at least have some sort of touch point to say, okay, I at least, you know, vetted this person out a little bit. And so that's okay to do too. If you don't have, like what you're saying, Juliet, that anchor relationship to help you sort of choose those advisors, it's okay to go off your gut instinct. Okay, I'm going to use Juliet, but then I'm just going to ask her, can I get a couple references? And you can also Google people. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can see what's out there with reviews.
It's hard to figure out whether you're getting good information though from the Googles.
Yeah, it is hard. Yeah, I just don't want... I just don't want people to get stressed out about, oh my gosh, it's so stressful to choose the right partner.
I mean, this is our show. Is what about this idea? I'm looking at our little thing on the wall, right? I think I have an idea.
We wanted to ask about ideas. Yeah. I think this is a good transition.
We're 31 minutes into the second half. We can go ahead and transition into the tail end of the show.
This is our new format.
That's right. So I'm gonna suggest an idea. This is not part of our new format, but I just it occurred to me. Mm-hmm. Banks, for a certain segment of society, banks are just going to be kind of an intimidating structure. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just the way it is. Mm-hmm. And those people, we could get into whether the kind of micro small businesses, are ultimately all that important in the grand scheme of, and I know they are, I'm not saying they're not, but in the grand scheme of the economics of the country and stuff, but they're very, very important to the people who have created that job for themselves and that small business that they want to succeed. But they, you know, I know it from personal experience. Walking through the front door might be the barrier to even getting the dang thing done. Like, mm-hmm. it's just too intimidating, mm-hmm. and you don't know what you're doing, and you're like, I don't want to go in here and look like an idiot. Like, I'll go on camera and look like an idiot. All
yeah,
the time.
I mean, every week.
I got no fear of that. But walking through the door and talking to people who, you know, so it, could you have maybe like a like in the bank, just a little side office where like someone who sort of looks like the everyman or every woman kind of person. And then maybe there's like a Bud Light or two falling out the door. ask Steve anything. Janice. Like
Janice, I love that.
She'll be fine. You can ask Janice and don't worry. No question is too dumb or whatever. You just go in there, ask Janice, and she'll help you out. And then they don't have to feel so bad.
Pre-meeting advice from Janice smoking in the corner of the bank with a Bud Light.
Bud Light at noon. Like,
get your nerves off.
There's going to be a certain subset of people who need banking help who might walk in and be like, nope, I got to talk to Janice first. I'm not talking to any of you in suits. Janice.
I like that idea.
Yeah.
I think we might be building out an office.
I love this. Yeah. It could be just like a lounge, mm-hmm. you know, because yeah. that's
I
comfy.
I sort of mean it. I'm making yeah. the, you know, yeah. I'm joking, but it would be nice. Like just the first time here. Come talk to this person. They're just gonna.
Sam, that's such a fun idea. I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you get it.
I get it.
Okay.
I get it. We've at Divine Fox Production, not to self promote, but we've helped, we're helping people get voice that don't usually choose to have voice.
It's difficult for them to find it. That's true.
It's like they've been journaling or thinking about these things for so long, but they haven't been able to say them out loud and are super intimidated by all of this, you know, like microphones and lights. And we've walked a couple of people through, and I say we very generously, I think it's mostly Sam, through really just relaxing in and just saying your thing. And so that's kind of that way, like getting people past that intimidation. Like, this is a partner in your business, right?
Yeah, the first intimidating part. Like, you get them through the door, and then they can talk to everyone else. They've got it.
I love that idea. Yeah. Don't steal it, anyone.
No, you steal
That's
it.
Entrebank's idea.
Yeah, Melissa, you steal it. Yeah, do you have any?
We just need to find ourselves a Janice now.
Yeah.
Janice.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. My mother-in-law is Janice, and she'd be really good at that. Yeah, she'd be really. I'll sign her up. Yeah. I think it's synergy.
It's
yeah.
going to happen.
Exactly.
I picked that one out of the thin air, too.
Okay, so you're going to go into her? So,
do you have any of your own?
Yeah, right. So a crazy idea. I mean, you have been working with entrepreneurs for so long. Your business is catered to entrepreneurs. What's noodling in your head about a good idea?
Oh my goodness. I did not know this was part of the show.
No, I know it's a new part of the show. You're the first.
Can I give you a moment to think by saying something? Like,
yeah, of
like,
course.
Then you can sit there and think about it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you didn't.
Oh, you know what?
Oh, okay. Never mind. Got it.
As soon as I stopped trying.
Yeah. I knew you get put on the spot. It's
you're
tough.
Good.
So my daughter and I have been talking about this for a little while, and I mentioned during the break that I was doing this kind of reset. You know, this whole food kind of reset.
Yeah.
No alcohol, all the things. And so, so we found this app called Yuka. Her friend actually told her about it, and it helps you see what the ingredients are in a product and if it's good or bad for you. And it gives a rating based on like the chemicals and the additives and the things. And then it'll give you, if it's a poor rating, it'll give you like, this is a 10 out of 100.
The kids are all into this.
Throw this in the garbage right now.
I'm into it too now.
Yeah.
So it'll say this is a 10. This whatever cauliflower mac and cheese that you thought was good is actually not. And then it'll give you these suggestions underneath. So her and I, and we're Instacart members, we're like, that needs to link to Instacart so that you can choose that suggestion versus like toggling back now over to my Instacart app
and then searching
that, searching, looking. Oh, they don't have that. They don't. So I
okay, like Yuka, this is your sign.
Yuka and Instacart need is to that collaborate. Like,
Yuka just needs to integrate into Instacart.
Yeah, is that sort of like a Pinterest thing or something? Like where I don't know Pinterest well, but like where you see something and you put it into your thing and then it integrates with
Instacart.
The other things. Well, like. Yeah, I mean, like, isn't that kind of what Pinterest was? With people put products in there, and then
yeah, you could kind of
click
your,
on
like,
the thing and
it'll
bring, yeah.
things. Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. But I love this idea.
Made it efficient.
I wonder like, if there's
I don't
other
mess
things
around with.
No, you don't have to go both places.
No, because then you go to Instacart and they don't have the thing, and then it was like you're back to the app. Oh, and I got to sign in again. Okay, what was it suggesting? Oh, now it's suggesting.
What's some alternatives?
Yeah.
Right, I get it. Okay,
so we'll Yuka. Link to them. Whoever these people are.
Yeah,
I don't know Instacart. I don't know Yuka.
You
I know
heard it, of Instacart.
I've heard of Instacart, but I have no idea what it does.
Okay,
it brings you
twice,
stuff
twice yeah. today. That
Target, Cub Food, Costco. So I don't like the grocery store. I feel like.
I don't either.
I don't like the bank. You don't like the grocery store? I like the grocery store. I walk in there. I feel right at home. Hey, Janice and Steve, how are you? They're in there.
You know, that's my father-in-law's name. That is so weird.
Steve and
Janice and Steve. That is so weird that you would say that. What's happening here? It's a seance.
No, that's really fun, though. I like that idea.
I love that idea, too.
I was going to try and bring you back to, like, you know, when you're... like a 9-year-old girl and there's some part and you're just sitting there and you're like, because you know, kids always say something. They're like,
oh, my daughter has a different idea
someday
every day.
I'm going to be this, you know? And you're like, okay, little buddy, like, you got any of those hidden in there that you remember?
Not that I remember. No, but I, in my daughter's brain every day, I have to be present because her mind moves so fast.
Yeah.
And she's like, if I'm distracted at all, then she'll be like, ask me a question. I'm like, oh dear. Oh dear. What?
Oh boy. She just told me
to do that for like 3 days.
No. So I have to be like focused and in the moment with her because she's got all the, yeah, she's got some ideas brewing.
Yeah. She's,
well, send her our way. We'll coax those ideas.
Well, yeah.
You'll love it.
I can hardly wait for the day where we have.
She could be our youngest ever guest.
A 10-year-old.
Henry, she's coming for you.
That's right, Henry, 17. He's our youngest. That's right. Well, this has been absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, it's been super fun.
Was it just like the ones you've done before?
Nothing like the ones you've done before.
No, this is not a very formal experience.
Really? Different?
But here's the thing is that I think that the audience that you're looking that you have at the bank, it's the scrambled sort of messages that they usually get. You know, there's no straight line to entrepreneurship. There's no one way of doing it. There's no one person to work with. There's no one partnership to work with. That it is messy. And so is this show.
I think it's so fatiguing to, way to wrap it up. I like it. No, it's just like the minute you put it out there to the world that you're going to start a business or do something, you are just hounded. Everybody's selling you crap. And it's like, okay, well, now I'm overloaded. Now I don't want to listen to any of you anymore because I can't. It's just too much.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
So hopefully, if you've watched this or listened to this, go give the bank a try. Entrebank.
Good job.
Or even go to some of their things first. I mean, they have amazing opportunities. So Entrebank.
You can stand out front with a. We want Janice.
Maybe Entrebank can be a sponsor someday.
Maybe.
Oh, goodness. That's the reason people have guests on the show is so they can hit them up for sponsorship.
No, I know. That's not it. We just don't know how to get sponsors yet.
No, we do. Absolutely.
I mean, we
do.
So we have to remember to keep asking.
Well, you put out a good product.
And we should probably like have a sponsor sheet that we sent.
That's true. But I mean, I'm sure this is the most interesting part of the show. Right?
This is... If you want to sponsor us,
just go ahead. Just send us
you
money.
You should do it.
We'll just put your name in.
You should
thing.
Just send us a little.
We're not
remote.
Even going to tell you how much to send. Just send some money, and we'll consider you a sponsor.
Yeah, especially if you have a really relevant solution for entrepreneurs.
We'll get it out. We're a brand new show.
Yes,
we're just coming out with it. It's all good.
We've got some good following already. So
a lot for coming
me.
In.
Yeah, it was delightful.
This Bankers. Was delightful. Thank
this
you.
Week, we cracked the first nut with the banker there or whatever. Not that you're a nut. I don't know what it meant.
And it was an alcohol-free episode.
Yeah.
Never again.
We survived.
We're supporting a Whole Foods alcohol-free episode on behalf.
Cheers to that.
Cheers to that. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Don't cry. It's over.
Oh, you did it. You made it to the very end of the show. And you know what you can do to help us? What can they do to help us? They can tell their friends how awesome this show is.
Yeah, why not? Why not?
You know what else? And I don't know if people know this or don't know this, but like if you found us and you see us on socials somewhere, just hit repost or share it with your community.
Share, repost, follow. Isn't there a follow option?
Yeah,
of some
follow,
kind?
Subscribe. We're not going to charge you anything.
No.
Just hit the subscribe button.
No. It's we just need you. To create a community around entrepreneurism and how the real shit happens.
I like it. Well, because we're real. You said it in the intro.
Real, real, real.
We talk real. No, seriously, tell your friends. What a great show. Oh, my gosh, these people are doing the best work ever. Yeah, right?
That's what you should say.
Yeah.
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 And just come back. Have fun with us. We love this.
We'll have someone, we'll interview someone cool next week, too.
Someone completely different.
Yeah, from prison. Thanks.
You always have to have that.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for listening.